Well, we come to a very joyful time now as we continue to worship God through the sacrament of baptism. This morning we're going to be baptizing Phineas Denver Nannery. Baptism is a sacrament that the Lord Jesus Christ instituted on his days here on earth. And we read of these things in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Baptism is a sacrament ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sign and seal of the inclusion of the person who is baptized into the covenant of grace. And that's what is happening here. Phineas will be receiving the sign of the covenant of grace. Baptism with water teaches that we and our children are conceived and born in sin. It signifies our dying to sin and our rising to newness of life by virtue of our union with Christ in his death and his resurrection. It also signifies and seals to us cleansing from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. As we baptize Phineas this morning, these things should be speaking to you and reminding you of what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. These gifts of salvation are God's gracious provision to us. He is pleased then to call us his very own, to be his people, and we to be his God. And so we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is not just a ritual, not just something we do when a child is born. Baptized persons are called to assume the obligations of the covenant that God has made with him or her. And baptism summons us to renounce sin and the world and to walk humbly with our God in devotion to his commandments. So baptism this morning is not just for Phineas, but it's also for you all who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, to remind you of what God has done through his Son Jesus Christ. To remind you that in Jesus Christ, your sins have been washed away. And I want to take us now to Genesis chapter 17, where God instituted the sign of the covenant of circumcision for Abraham and all his descendants. Genesis chapter 17. This is the word of the Lord. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with Abraham, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, who were circumcised with him. The young children of that day did not understand what was going on. They did not understand that God had given to their father the sign of his covenant love towards them. Just like our infants who are baptized today, they do not understand at this moment what is happening to them, but yet God still called Abraham to apply the sign to his children. He said to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Under the New Testament, this promise still applies. God has never withdrawn this promise or withdrawn this sign and seal to the children of believers. We see in Acts 2:39, when many Jews were coming to faith in Christ, that the Apostle Peter reminded them of these promises. And that the salvation that they were confessing now in the Lord Jesus Christ was a promise that God would fulfill in them. And that the covenant promise was not only to them as they came to faith, but also to their children. Acts 2, verse 36 to 39 tells us this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise that God made to Abraham, is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So Peter was continuing on this promise to those who had come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. They were to be baptized, and the promise was also to them and to their children, that those who came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would be saved. And so our children do receive this sign, as God never said, stop giving the children of believers this sign. Yes, adults who come to know Christ are to be baptized, and so are their children. Because the covenant of grace in the Old Testament and the covenant of grace in the New Testament, as we have been learning in the book of Hebrews for so many weeks now, is the same covenant, administered in a different way. And so baptism and circumcision are part of that new administration. Baptism now replaces circumcision, as we see in Colossians chapter 2. Let me read that to you. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So we baptize our children because God has given us this sign and this seal of his covenant love. And he has never told us to stop doing this. At the same time, we do not believe that baptizing our children causes them to be saved, but it marks them as children of God's covenant. It marks them as those who are going to get significant and special blessings that children in this world outside of the church will not get. Because in the church, a child who has been marked with this covenant sign of baptism, the church commits itself and the parents commit themselves to raising this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's what we'll be doing here as well today. While Phineas is going to be baptized, the parents and the congregation make a commitment to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And let me say something to all the children who are here with us, to all of those who can understand. Can I have your attention? You once, of those who were baptized, you need to look at this baptism. And you may not, and you will not probably remember your baptism as an infant. But this reminds you of the covenant seal that God has placed upon you and the covenant obligations of you to walk in faith, to come to faith, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon his name, to save you from your sins. So while Phineas is being baptized, each one of us are being reminded of that great work that God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are called to call on God to save us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So children, you're about to watch Phineas be baptized. You didn't see your baptism and you don't remember it, but here is a reminder. You have been marked as a covenant child of God. And God calls you to grow up into faith into the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls you to believe in him and be a covenant keeper with him. I would also encourage the adults, the older believers, to reflect on your own baptism and to repent of your sins against your covenant God. To use this baptism today to stir up your faith and so doing, improve upon the baptism that was given to you in your past days. We always talk about this language of improving upon your baptism, but what does it mean to do that? How does one improve and make right use of their baptism? As I've already said, this baptism resembles or symbols the washing away. Just like water in your normal everyday life you use to wash away dirt, this water does not wash away sin, but it represents the blood of Christ, which does. And so those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are reminded that we too have been set apart for holy living, because God is holy and He has called us to be holy as well. So the call is upon the whole church today to be active in this baptism, to be participating in this baptism, to be repenting of our sins, which this baptism calls us to. I'd like to ask Reuben and Anna and Phineas to come forward now, to come up here on the platform. We have some questions we want to ask Reuben and Anna as the parents. Last night I visited Reuben and Anna and went over some of these things that I've already spoken of. And it is just a joy to see families who have taken the vows of church membership and the vows of covenant of baptism to not only have taken the vows with their other children, but to actually be pursuing keeping of those vows. And so it's very precious time and very encouraging for us to see families doing this, raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So the first question we want to ask them is do they are they keeping their vows of communicant membership of following the Lord? So I would ask Reuben and Anna, do you publicly renew your profession of faith in Christ and acknowledge your acceptance of the covenant of communicant membership?
We do.
And now I would ask Reuben and Anna to assent to the covenant of baptism in relation to their son Phineas. Do you believe Phineas is a possession of God entrusted to your care?
We do.
In this light, do you promise to provide for his temporal well-being, to teach him to love God and his word, the Bible, and to provide him with a God-centered education?
We do.
Do you promise to teach him of his sinful nature, of the plan of salvation which comes in Jesus Christ, and his own personal need of a relationship with Christ?
We do.
To the end that he may grow in the Christian life, do you promise to pray for him, to train him to read the Bible, to pray, to keep the Lord's Day, and to understand the nature of the church, the value of its worship and fellowship, and his need to seek communicant membership in the church?
We do.
Do you promise to lead him by your example and parental discipline exercised in love to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all the relationships of life?
We do.
Do you make these promises in the presence of God in humble reliance upon his grace as you desire to give your account with joy at the last great day?
We do.
Amen. Now I'd ask the congregation to stand, because this is a joint participative effort on our part. Not only do we not sit by and just be passive in this baptism today, but we don't sit by and be passive in the nurture and admonition of this child. You have an active obligation to help these parents raise Phineas in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so do not take lightly the question I'm about to ask you. And do not affirm it if you do not plan, by the Lord's help, to participate in the raising and encouragement of these parents to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so I ask this question. Do you, the members of the congregation, receive Phineas into your fellowship and promise to pray for him and to help and encourage the parents as they seek to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? If you do, say, I do.
I do.
Amen. Let us pray and ask God to bless this baptism. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for this child, Phineas. We do thank you, Lord, for your word which gives us the promises that you look upon this child as your child, as your covenant child, because he has been born to these covenant parents. Lord, we pray that you would bless Phineas, that you bless him with a good church that will help him to walk with the Lord, that you would bless him with faithful friends and faithful parents, that they would train him, love him, and call him through the gospel to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do now ask that you would take this water that is common and set it apart for this sacrament of baptism, and that you would use it, Lord, to mark this child as your covenant child. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the church's only King and Head. Amen. You may be seated. Reuben and Anna, it's a privilege to baptize another one of your children. And it's just a wonderful thing that the Lord has done for you and the church. And this is a wonderful thing that's being done to Phineas, to be marked as a covenant child of God. What a blessing. Phineas, Denver, Manry, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Amen. I'd like to ask Noah to come up and pray for the family and for the church in our covenant obligations.
Pray. Heavenly Father, this morning it's our delight to be worshipers of a covenant God, a God who keeps his covenant with his people for generation after generation. This morning, Father, we have approached unto thee, as the scriptures say, the strength of our song, and who the God who has become our salvation. This morning, Heavenly Father, we have drawn with joy water out of the wells of salvation in obedience to thy commands, and we have baptized Phineas Denver Manry, baptized him in the name of our covenant God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, this morning I pray for Phineas, along with all of this congregation, that this outward washing today would do just as Pastor McNamee declared it would, and that is, Father, that it would distinguish Phineas from the children of unbelievers, that he, Heavenly Father, like all of our baptized children, would stand out as being special and precious in thy sight. Praying, Heavenly Father, for the cleansing of Phineas' sins, the washing away of those sins. Praying, Heavenly Father, for the work that has been begun in Phineas to be fulfilled, and for the pledge of the covenant to come to pass. Heavenly Father, I do pray for the congregation here, having made vows and promises to help Reuben and Anna in the raising of this child, this boy, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Heavenly Father, these are tasks that go beyond our abilities and beyond our imaginations to bring to pass. And so how we pray for the help of thy Spirit in all of this. We look to thee this morning, Father, with thankfulness, gratitude in our hearts, for the salvation of our God, and for the continued blessing of thy church. We pray these things in Jesus' name.